Reading from the Jiva Dharma, Chapter 3. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Vijnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya. Chakshurumilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So we're studying this wonderful, kind of a novel, although there's some controversy whether it's a novel and it's a history, but regardless, it's a wonderful story about people coming to Krishna consciousness after Lord Chaitanya, the generation after. It centered around a place in Navadvip, one of the nine islands of Navadvip that exemplifies Kirtan. It's a beautiful, solitary, sublime place. Kunj means like where vines and trees form little almost rooms, like houses. That's called a kunj. And there's great disciple of one of Lord Chaitanya's most intimate associates, disciple of Padumna Brahmachari named Premdas Babaji. And he's chanting 2 lakhs of rounds a day, which used to be the standard. And in a very peaceful, sublime atmosphere, he's deeply purifying himself. He has prema bhakti. And he's a perfect saint. And somehow or other, this Mayavadi sannyasi, who somehow or other in his stage, of a very high stage of renunciation, somehow his heart, even though he wasn't attracted to anything in the world, it's still hankered for pure love, bhava, which is the spiritual love, the nature of the soul, which manifests in relationship to those who have it. He somehow comes into contact with one who's just chanting Nittai Gauranga, Nittai Gauranga. And he's so susceptible and so pure that it has a tremendous effect on him, and the Bhakti Rata Beach comes into his heart. The conception, at a very high level, the conception, the feeling, the taste of that service to God as the objective life, the culmination of sublimity. And then in his search, he finally comes to Gojamdweep and is directed, because when you want spiritual love, you seek out those who have it. And he comes to this place and he meets this Premdas Babaji, and through Premdas Babaji we see the character of Vaishnava. And the real ornament of Vaishnava is their humility, because they're cognizant of God, and therefore there's always an authority, an object of service greater than their own whims. And they're always in that consciousness. Even though relatively that purity may channel the energy of God, when you become connected to God, you become God eyes in many ways. But you never really, in the abhiman of a false conception that I am powerful, it's God that's powerful, and my service to God makes me powerful. But it's not my power. I'm like a bank teller who's handling all this money but never thinks I am a rich man. Anyway, a dialect becomes, and we see how this person becomes Krishna conscious by getting knowledge and understanding. I mean, if you want bhava, you have to have sambandha. You have to have an understanding of your relationship with God. Otherwise, you can't get the first base in your relationship to God. What to speak of feeling that relationship with God, which is the goal of life. So we'll see this with so many people, materialists, Mayavadi, know, so many different types of people will come to Krishna consciousness and will follow how their doubts and misunderstandings that they have held according to their previous life and the conceptions that supported that life, how those conceptions in this dialogue with great souls become clear, how their faith matures, and therefore their experience of Krishna consciousness matures. And we follow them, and it's such a beautiful thing. It's such a beautiful thing, and we follow them. So we're in the dialogue is continuing now, and actually we're seeing the fruit of the dialogue. The fruit of the dialogue with the saintly person is your doubts become cleared, your thoughts become purified, and therefore your actions become proper, and therefore the fruit of proper actions, which is spiritual vision and love, fully manifest in your heart. We're seeing that happening. We'll see that happen in the dialogue as I'll read it. But first, just go over, you know, first he discussed a logical question. There are many, many dharmas. The dharma is supposed to be one. And the answer is that dharma is one. And dharma is the nature of the soul, and it's to worship God, and it may take many forms. But that is what dharma is. And then he asked, if the jivas are infinitesimal, how can the eternal dharma be full and pure? And he discussed that when you are a part of God, connects with God, it gets the power and purity of God, just like a spark when it connects to the fire, gets the potency and purity of the fire. And then he asked if the natural function of the jiva is formed at the time he is constituted, how can that function be eternal? And describe that God is beyond time. So it's hard to discuss the questions of when. So in that sense, the jiva's function it's the spark is coming from the fire, but at the same time, the fire includes the spark. And then in the dialogue, different other questions came up. If Mahabhav, or the highest love, is different from the attainment, is it different from the attainment of absolute oneness? And there is a difference, because although in perfection is absolute oneness, but the oneness is in harmony. It's not in obliteration of the self. That is oneness. So although there's a certain non-duality, because in that harmony, everything legitimately becomes one, because what we are in harmony with is that great one. And therefore, we become that one in the sense that we become the part of the one, as the hand is not the body, but the hand is the body. If you point to the hand, you say, this is the body. So that concept was cleared up, and the proponent of Advaita Vedanta, Shankaracharya, his whole Advaita Vedanta is undifferentiated oneness. And they're explaining that that's not a solid doctrine. Because in perfection, we maintain our individuality, but in harmony with what we are part of, which is God. And then along this, as he's advancing, there comes a particular point. This is the questions by Sannyas Thakur, this great, pure Brahmin renunciate. And then, he comes up and he wants to now shave up and join the ashram. He wants to, you know, change his dress. He has the ekadanga, every monk has a sacred staff, and the Mayavadi sannyasis, at least at that time, they dressed in kind of a red cloth, and they kept a one stick, which is an eka danda. Danda means stick. Their religious staff was just one staff. And that indicated that everything is one. a undifferentiated oneness. Every distinction is illusion. That's their conception. Where the concept of prema is there is a one that is many for the purpose of love, and that is the shakti or potency, parasya shaktir, vidhaya shuryate. That one has potency, that one has unlimited energies for the purpose of eternal pleasure and love, which we see reflected here in various ways, in a perverted way. But it indicates in the original there is love, which requires a subject of love, the lover, an object of love, the beloved, and the love itself, which is prema. But anyway, he wants to change his external designation from one who is representing that line of Shankara, undifferentiated oneness, to the Vaishnava dress, which at that time would be the white cloth, indicating one who is above any designations in Varnashram, where the monk, he wore the red cloth, he had a robe, he was a sannyasi, he was one of the four ashrams, the brahmachari, the student, the grihastha, the married person, the vanaprastha, the retired, and the sannyas, complete renunciate, but it's within that social system. So the Vaishnav is, especially the Vaishnav renunciates, they wore the white, just paramahamsa, just completely above. So, very interesting, his guru just said, too much concern for external appearance. And this is a basic misconception of spiritual life, that allegiance, some kind of external form is what makes you advance. Designation, in some kind of, you know, renounced order, this is what makes you advance. A shaved head, it makes you advance. So, his guru, Prem Das Babaji, says, too much concern for external appearance. Too much concern for external appearance. Don't become a market of vairagya, a renunciate. An external form, like a monkey, who you may think the monkey is renounced, because they don't have clothes, they live in a tree, they just eat leaves, how renounced. But the monkey internally is just looking for sex life. So, and this is actually such an important point. Even recently, one young lady approached me confused, you know, that she wanted to do a noble, and she's very spiritual. She wanted to do kirtan all day in New York. And she was sincere and she was doing it. And then her parents said she hadn't finished 4 years of college, go back to college. And she said, no, I will not give up. And she left the home. She asked me what to do. Well, I told her I'll write her back. I could say to the answer at the time, no. You should not you know, just leave a situation of kind of protection like that, with no social standing, not knowing where to live, etc. Like Lord Chaitanya sent Raghunath Das Goswami back home. It's always good to test that renunciation before people take that level of renunciation. Because once you do, you can't step back from it. It's always got to be tested when people want to make an external change, to test that the external change is reflective of their consciousness. Because if they leave a situation that's secure for one that's insecure before one is fully dependent on Krishna, it can wreak havoc in their life. So now, um, Now we're in a very interesting section I'm going to read today. So he's gotten all these different instructions. Now he says, this is wonderful. I have seen Sri Mayapur in broad light, daylight many times, but I've never held anything before like this. What am I seeing? So what happens here is Sannyas Thakur, who asked that question about external dress, and his group had too much concerns. But it's after 10 o'clock, and he's still chanting in this grove in Godroom, and he's bathing north, and he sees the full moon rising, and he sees the luster of it through all the Navadvip. And then suddenly, there's a divine manifestation that becomes visible before his eyes, because these holy places like Vrindavan and Mayapur, there's some appearance that we see with our eyes, but there's something that's unmanifest that we can see with our heart. And even those of us that are new that come to Vrindavan, we sometimes get a spruti. Spruti means a little glance. We sometimes get a little glance. So, what happens is, by the sincerity of his surrender to his guru, by the sincerity of putting himself in the position of service of the voice of God, which manifests through the teacher, the voice of the universe, our universal duties, universal direction, our absolute direction, and putting oneself in that humble position with full sincerity, and taking shelter of the holy name, he has this divine vision. And then he just, because mind is blown. His mind is blown because what he sees is the most astonishing and blissful holy place. And he sees what's actually happening there beyond the external vision. He sees these towering jeweled palaces and temples, ornamented archways that are illuminating the bank of the Ganga by their glittering splendor. So Mayapur is already so beautiful with that rich flowing Ganga. It's still not polluted. So wonderful. And on the banks is just all this opulent palaces, and within them is Harinam Sankirtan, arising from many places as to pierce the skies and Vaishnavas. And then she's hearing this incredible kirtan, and this is the spiritual world. Kirtan is just incredible. And hundreds of Vaishnavas. And then he sees Narada chanting in the kirtan, playing on his veena. And then he sees Lord Shiva with his Damaru drum in his hand, and he's crying out, "O Chaitanya, bestow your mercy upon me." And see this, he goes into his Kandava Mitra while dancing, and he falls unconscious. On the other side is Poetic Brahma, and he's reciting Vedic mantras and explaining its meaning about Lord Chaitanya. He's quoting these verses about Lord Chaitanya, and Indra and other devas are leaping in ecstasy saying, "Jai Satchinandana Gohari," and the birds on the branches are calling out Gornitai, and the bumblebees are humming in the flower garden, and everyone's intoxicated by Gaur Nam Ras, the liquid essence of Prema, the holy name of Chaitanya. And the personified material nature is so filled with love, is diffusing her magnificent radiance everywhere. So this is what he sees. So and that will read on. Remembering his Gurudev, Sannyasa Thakur said, O Prabhu, now I can understand that you have bestowed your mercy upon me today by granting me a vision of the transcendental aspect of Mayapur. This is the mercy of Guru. You go to the holy place and you see beyond the holy place. And that gives him so much faith. So he says, that's it. Just completely now, I'm a follower of Chaitanya. I see everyone in this divine land as a devotee with Tulsi beads and a tilak and the letters of Nam on their body. I shall also do the same. And then saying as he falls completely unconscious. And then after a short while, he wakes up and he cries. And he says, indeed, I am extremely fortunate for the mercy of Guru. I obtained a momentary vision of the sacred fan of Srinavadvipa. So by intense spiritual practice, sincerity, etc., one may have a spiritual religious experience. And then the next morning, then he takes that one Ganga stick and he throws it in the river. And then he gets the Tulsi bead and puts on the Vaishnav tilak and he's chanting. Now that experience is so fortified, he changes the external dress. Of course, an important call came. I'll be right back. Hare Krishna, are we back? Hello? I just want to make sure I got back. Hello? Someone there?
Hare Krishna? Yes.
Okay, I got it. Okay. Okay. So, so now he, you know, of course, in the initiation process, the Udva Pundra, the Tilak, that's part of it, that kind of identification and the change of dress. But here, it's really, you know, it's coming after the result of not just the chance of surrender, but full surrender. And then when the other Vaishnavas see his mood and appearance, they just fall down on the ground and they begin to worship him, and he becomes embarrassed. And he says, I have accepted this Vaishnav dress to become an object of the Vaishnav mercy, but now I've met with other obstacles. I wanted your mercy. Why are you offering me respect? And he said, I've heard the statement many times from my Gurudev, Trinadati, Sinichena, Tororati, Sihishnana, Amanina, Madanena, Kirtaniya, Siddhahari. Considering oneself to be more insignificant than a blade of grass, boy, we know that, more tolerant than a tree, and free from all desire for personal prestige, and often all respects to others, one should constantly be absorbed in Harinam. And he said, these same Vaishnavas I consider my guru are now offering obeisances to me. What will become of me? So when one has the mood of bhakti, certainly one doesn't want to be worshipped by a superior. I mean, my God, that's the last thing one wants. So he's thinking, what is going doing. What's happening to Nanny? And he approaches Paramahamsa, his friend, that's Babaji, and offers him obeisances. And he stands before him, with his head bowed. And Pranidas is sitting in his Manadhi Kunj, his chanting heart. And when he sees the complete change of dress and the awakening of this Bhav, he embraces him and bathes him with the tears of love. And he says, "Oh, Vaishnav Das," that was his name, "today I have become successful by touching your auspicious mind." And then he's initiated. And now he's in his name, or part of the conscious samskar of the purification. He looks at him and he says, "Now, Vaishnav, by seeing you." So now he gets his name. And now he feels a new life. And he's known as Vaishnav Das. He abandons the Mayavadi Sannyasi and the prestigious Sannyas name, and which represents an exalted conception of himself as the top of society. And now we're going to see more of what happens in this Kunj, and then in the afternoon, because people are chanting all morning, many Vaishnavas come. That place is actually called Dunya Kunj. And they come from different places to see this Premdas. Because they don't bother in the morning, in the afternoon he has time. And they all sat surrounding him and they're chanting Harinam. They're all just chanting because they have that paste. And they called out, "Hey, Gauranga Nityananda, Sitana," and their eyes well with tears. The Vaishnavas discussed among themselves. And they discuss, it's just beautiful. And then they begin to talk about their Ishtadev, about Ishtadev, the worshipable deity. There's so much affection in the Krishna Bhaktas, and God has appeared to them as Krishna's little manifestation of love, and maybe a particular form, and then they serve a Tulsi, and they're offering obeisances. And Vaishnav Das, he also circumambles Tulsi, and then he's rolling the dust below his feet of the Vaishnavas. He's in the assembly of the most exalted Vaishnavas, and he wants the dust to their feet. And they don't really know who he is yet. And then some whisper, "Is that Vaishnav Thakur? Wow, he looks wonderful." I remember the day I took sannyas. This is the opposite. He gives up to sannyas. The day I took sannyas, my head was shaved, and they put on a new cloth, and I had my bandha. I don't use that much more, but I think next time I bring it with me. I have a bandha. And the stick might have the tree dandi, the 3-6. And there's a fourth one, is the jiva dandi, that indicates the soul is the God and the 3-6. That together is one, indicates serving God, the mind, body, and earth. I remember after I took sannyas, in very extraordinary circumstances, and then I went into the GBC room to get blessings all the time. And bright, everyone was happy to see me. So, and he's just rolling on the ground and he's saying, "Hey, my friend, have pain, the dust of the Vaishnav lotus feet. This is the culture. It is the culture of humility." And he's understood that unless you get the dust, which represents the mercy, from our perspective, when we see Vaishnava, when we see Krishna, we see something, we have such incredible value to that. We have such incredibly value that's so high that we're satisfied with the speck of dust. But that speck of dust to us, because we value something so much that a speck of dust, it inundates us with mercy. So we feel so much mercy. And without that mercy, he's going to say, he's saying, he says, I don't have any, I'm a soul, no soul has any destination unless they get the dust of the Vaishnava's feet. And it's a fact. And then three things are mentioned as the panacea for material existence. It's the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas, the water that washes their feet, and the nectar emanating from their lips. These three items are the medicine and the way for the patient who is afflicted with the disease. They are the cure, he says, for entire material existence, and they're the source of transcendental enjoyment to the healthy soul who has become free from this affliction. And he says, for wealth in that association of such great souls. And he's getting the dust to their feet. Oh, Vaishnavas, please do not think I am trying to show off my scholarship. My heart has now become free from all egotism. I took birth in a high Brahmin family, studied all the shastras, and entered the sannyas ashram, which is the fourth stage of the life. As a result, my pride knew no bounds. The problem with good qualities is if you have ego, they only increase your ego. Vaishnavism means we realize we are completely dependent. And then he just says, gradually, through the mercy of all of you Vaishnavas, I have been able to cast off the vanity of my noble birth, the pride of my learning, and the arrogance of my social status. Now I know as Menon said, O best of the sadhus, we are eager to obtain the dust of the feet of Vaishnavas like you. Please bless me with the dust of your lotus feet. You are the object of Prem Das Babaji's mercy. Please purify us by making us your associates. Shastra says that bhakti is obtained through associating with bhaktis like you. And then he quotes so many things. And then the next time will come. We'll see the next person that's going to be coming. Well, actually, it's a cultured person. We'll see the debate between him and Vaishnava Das. Anyway, any questions? Anyone like to say hello? Questions first? Gail, I'll ask a question. Did you get to speak to Sandra afterwards?
Yeah, hi, Krishna Maharaj. Yeah, when you left and you said goodbye, yeah, we were speaking for a long time.
A long time, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting lady, isn't she?
Yes, very much so.
Yeah, she's very serious in her spiritual
life. I saw that.
Okay. Oh, that's wonderful. I wanted you to meet her, you know?
Yeah, I was looking forward to, you know, meeting up with her again.
Oh, great, great. Yeah, she also likes to hear philosophy, doesn't she?
Well, I don't know. She seemed to be very much into the bhakti aspect of her yoga practice.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Okay. Okay, anybody like
to say, Maharaj, that the class today, you know, it was, I didn't want to chime in until it was, like, impossible, but, you know, your we lost a lot of syllables, you know, while you were speaking, you know.
Yes.
And toward the end, you know, there were whole patches of silence. Yeah. And so it was very difficult to follow. I thought it was very difficult to follow. Yeah, the connection, you know, because I tried both my cell and my landline, both, and they were both, it was the same thing, you know.
Really? You can hear me now?
Well, I can hear you now, but, you know, there was a lot of hiccups. You know, every other word, there was, like, lost syllables, you know.
Anyway, that usually doesn't happen, right?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, what can I do?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? But the first part you could hear. It was just towards the end.
Yeah, in the beginning it was not like that. Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Brajrajan.
Who is it? No.
Brajrajan?
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj.
So nice that you're home there. We had such a wonderful program. And as usual, so many. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, we'll end then. Punchy Pokey.